OLTU.com,
the home of quality podcasts. Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 206 of Shutters Inc. Sorry about last week. Life got in the way of doing any podcasts at all last week, so neither podcast got recorded. But in the last episode, I talked about, or asked about, colour casts from ND400, or otherwise known as 10-stop neutral density filters. I mentioned three people that have listened to this podcast in the past, Adam Davidson, Mike Holman, and Rod Thomas. I heard back from Adam and Mike. I didn't hear from Rod, so maybe Rod's not listening to the podcast anymore. Interestingly, and I didn't mention this to either of the guys who contacted me via Facebook, but I got different reports about the same product. So Adam Davidson said to me, "Hey Bruce, just listen to the latest SI. Mike and I use B&W 10-stop ND filters, the screw-on type, and Rod uses the Lee big stopper that sits in a filter holder. I've never had any colour issues with my filter, but I am expecting a colour cast of some description from the $12 ND kits I just ordered off eBay to play with on the new Fuji X Pro 1. Mate, if you're paying 12 bucks for them, yeah, you're probably going to have some less than high quality issues with that, I would imagine. Adam, I'd be keen to hear from you, mate. Let me know how you go. I mean, you never know. I mean, sometimes you just find the cheapest but most amazing bargains on eBay. So I'd be keen to see the results and hear how they turn out. I'd also be keen to hear how you're finding the Fuji X Pro 1. That's a nice looking, rangefinder style of camera. So interestingly, Adam said no, he hasn't experienced any color cast with his B&W screw-on filter. But then Mike Holman said to me, "Howdy Bruce, hope you're well. Just heard your question regarding 10-stop ND filters. I use a B&W 10-stop screw-in filter, 77mm. Very good quality with just a slight magenta color cast in certain conditions. Color cast can be an issue with some of the cheaper filters, but can be corrected in post easily. Hop on Skype at some stage if you need to discuss further. Hi to Kath and Max. Cheers, Mike." So we then exchanged a few more messages, and I've just copied and pasted some of those into my text notes that I'm using as I record. He then said, "High Tech," which is the brand of filter that I picked up. And like I said, this was not a cheap and nasty filter. Like, it was a $100 filter, so presumably it was, you know, going to be a good one. He said, "High Tech have quite a good name, not as bad as some Chinese things you see around. I think you can expect to get a colour cast with most ND filters to some degree." He then said, "The B&W isn't too bad. I just generally adjust the white balance in Lightroom 4 to suit." And his final comment was, "Actually, I did a bit of a Google search when looking at ND filters. There's lots of info regarding colour correcting, etc." So that's something that I will need to do, is to have a bit of a Google search for what methods people have used for correcting those colour casts with an ND400 filter. To be honest, I've not had another chance to get out and shoot any landscape stuff and to actually give that filter more of a thrashing. The one I bought, by the way, is it's cut to size so that it fits into a Kokan P filter bracket, because I had the P system already, rather than buying a screw-in type, which always restricts you to, you know, one lens diameter, unless of course you've got a whole set of step down rings and you buy the largest screw on type filter you can get, which is always an option, I suppose. I do have a set of step down rings, but I just thought, stuff it, I've already got the Kokan P system. And unfortunately, I do not understand why Kokan do not make an ND400 filter, but for whatever reason they have elected not to make a 10-stop filter. So I jumped on eBay and I I did a search for, you know, ND400, Coke and Pea, and sure enough, I found, you know, a bunch of different, you know, other brands which were made to size so that they would fit into the Coke and Pea holder. And so that's what I got. But like I said, haven't had a chance to get out there and give it a good workout. I need to find some time to do that. And yeah, so the couple of images that I have shot, I had a quick look at white balance adjustments in Lightroom and still couldn't get them looking right. So yeah, we'll definitely follow up on that, Mike, and do a Google search, and I'll let you know how I go. So yeah, so that's the state of play with my ND400 filter. Over the last couple of weekends, I've done two more shoots of the Pose project management type. The one I did 2 weekends ago, as it will be by the time you hear this, was an interesting one. It was the inspiration image had a girl sitting on a bar stool with the fabric of her dress flying up on both sides of her, sort of suspended in the air, but not suspended on a wire. It was obvious looking at the image that they had been blown up there with fans. And because I live at Gosford and the model lives in Newcastle, which is another hour's drive north of where I am, and the makeup artist lived probably another half hour drive north again, I thought, I won't ask them to come down to my place. I'll go up to Newcastle and we'll shoot up there. That way it's sort of, you know, fairest on the makeup artist. It'd be a bit rude to ask her to travel an hour and a half down to my place. So I thought, we'll split the difference, meet in the middle. So I'd spoken with both of them, said, either of you got any, you know, suggestions for a place where we can shoot this? We're obviously going to need a bit of space. The model said to me, oh, we can use my garage. So I went, okay, fair enough, cool. And so I get up there with my white backdrop, because the inspiration image was shot on a white backdrop, and expecting to be able to unravel my entire backdrop, which is 3 meters wide and about 6 meters long. And as Shelton has said many times in the past, photography is 99% furniture removal, and that's exactly what happened. We spent a fair amount of time trying to clear some space in this garage because there was so much stuff in there. And I got it to the point where I was able to get the backdrop stand set up just inside the shed. So I had the full 3 meter width of the backdrop, but as it came down off the stand, and then you've got around about 1 meter of the curve of the fabric before it really sitting flat on the ground, and then I had maybe another 2 meters if I was lucky, and I was backed up against piles of rubbish in the back of this shed. So it was a challenge from a physical space point of view. It meant that I was having to work a lot closer to the model than I wanted to. Not that I, you know, had any issue with the model, but just from a focal length point of view, would have been nice to be able to work with a longer focal length. But the bigger issue with this shoot was not the focal length thing was one. I had to shoot on, I didn't have to shoot on my wide angle. I was at least able to get away with the 28mm end of my 28-75 Tamron, but it was still a wider angle than I would have preferred. But the other issue was that what we were using to create the air current were simple pedestal fans like you would pick up at Bunnings, you know, the sort that you would use in your home. Admittedly, we had 3 of them, and I thought that would be plenty, but what I found was that no, even on high speed, 3 fans was really, you know, pushing the friendship. We really needed, you know, like industrial size fans, the big wire suckers, the big grey ones, you know, with huge motors and, you know, whopping big blades on them. The little plastic and domestic type pedestal fans just were not cutting it. We started out with them, we started with two, one on either side, and I had them laying on the ground with the fan pointing upwards. And what I found was that that would kind of give the fabric a little bit of a lift, but not high enough. And then as the fabric kind of got to the top of where the air current was lifting it, the fabric would then slide sideways and kind of fall back around, you know, behind the model or in front of the model, you know, basically to the sides of where the air current was blowing upwards. And so there was a bit of trial and error. We tried lifting the bases of the fans up into the air so that the heads of the fan, rather than pointing straight up off the backdrop, were actually at a 45 degree angle. That didn't really work. So then we introduced the third fan, and what we ended up doing was arraying the three of these fans in a 120 degree arc in front of the model. And by the way, for the listeners outside of Australia, we are still in the middle of winter here, and this was a cold shed, unheated, and this poor model sitting there with three fans blowing at their highest speed, blowing cold air onto her. I think she was a bit chilly. So we ended up with these three fans sort of in a 120 degree arc in front of her. And what I had to do was to get Abby, the makeup artist, and the model's mum to hold the fabric out sort of parallel with the ground. And I had my camera on a tripod, manual focus, cable release, and I would count 1, 2, 3. They'd let go of the fabric. The air current would then lift the fabric up into the air the way we wanted it, and I'd click the cable release and get the shot. And that, you know, I even doing that approach, I knew that I was going to have, you know, arms and fans and things in the shot, and I just knew this is one instance where, you know, for all, you know, Shelton stomping his foot over the years about get it right in camera, I just knew I was going to have to Photoshop it out. There was just no other way around it given what we had to work with. So yeah, it was an interesting exercise, and you know, I was relatively happy with what we got at the end of it. Didn't completely match the look of the inspiration image because focal length was certainly a factor. But I think we did all right with getting the fabric to fly up in the air as per the inspiration. So yeah, so that was 2 weekends ago. And then last weekend, I had a shoot where the inspiration image showed a girl sitting in a barn full of hay bales with some real live rabbits. And we didn't end up finding any real live rabbits. And we had, up until about 5 days prior to the shoot, been led to believe by the model for this shoot that she could get us access to a barn just up near Newcastle. And about 5 days out, she says to me, "Oh, we can't get access to that barn." I said, "Oh, okay, fair enough." So I immediately jumped on the interwebs and, you know, through Facebook, started asking, you know, if anyone had any ideas of where we might find a shed full of hay bales around the Central Coast. Because my initial thinking, when I was thinking, where am I going to find a shed full of hay bales? I'm thinking, you need to be somewhere near where wheat is grown and harvested. And that's probably nowhere within about 200 kilometres of here. But I wasn't thinking broadly enough, because as soon as I put the word out, someone said to me, "Try Glenworth Valley," which is a horse riding, you know, commercial horse riding, trail riding farm here on the Central Coast. And I thought, oh, of course, you know, wherever there's horses, there's going to be hay. So I then thought, well, rather than ring them, because them being a commercial venture, they would probably want to charge us and yeah, it was probably just going to be too hard. So I thought, nah, I'll ring the pony clubs. So I started ringing the pony clubs on the Central Coast. And the second place I rang, first place I rang, I ended up with an answering machine. Still waiting on a call back from them. The second place I rang, spoke to this girl. She said, oh, you want to ring this guy, Mitch? And, you know, he lives out at Kalnara, which is about 40 minutes drive from my place. And, you know, tell him the story, yada, yada, yada. So ring this guy up, introduced myself, told him how I'd got his name and his number, and told him the whole story and said, you know, can we possibly use your shed full of hay bales? He said, yeah, no worries, you know. So we agreed on a carton of beer to as payment. So come Saturday, we head on out to, it was actually his cousin's farm, and we get out there and we find this shed, and sure enough, the shed was full of hay, but it was full all the way to the door, which meant that if we wanted to sort of work in front of the hay, as per the inspiration image, we would have basically been outside the shed and shooting in harsh sun, which obviously was not going to work for what we were trying to shoot. So the only other option was to actually climb up on the top of these hay bales. So we ended up about 5, maybe 6 hay bales high up in the air, right up near the roof of the shed. And I did, again, more furniture, quote unquote, removal, shifting hay bales around to make a sort of a flat area where we could work. On the top of this haystack, and again, I don't know what it is. It seems to be the norm in the last couple of shoots. You know, we were really cramped for space. Even up on top of this haystack, I was only able to create an area, maybe 3 meters long and 1.5 meters wide, which, you know, probably sounds like a reasonable amount of space. But once you try putting a light stand up and a softbox on top and you know, and you're trying, you know, to make sure that you don't fall off the edge of the haystack, it's not a lot of space to work with. And unfortunately, on this occasion, I was forced to shoot with my wide angle because my 28 was just not wide enough. And the thing that I, you know, wanted to sort of reiterate, I guess, about that particular scenario was, if you do find yourself in a position like that where you are shooting wide angle with any human being, you know, be really, really conscious of the angle at which you shoot, particularly if you're working close to them. There was one particular shot, I mentioned this in the blog post on brucewilliamsphotography.com, where I had the model standing up and with her back to me, and because of the nature of the way I was essentially forced to frame the shot, I had my camera pretty much at her ear level, and what that did was, because of the wide angle, it gave her a long body and really short Oompa Loompa legs. So that image, you know, didn't make the cut, obviously. And it was one of the things that I had to be really conscious of all through that shoot that afternoon, was the fact that shooting on a 20mm wide-angle lens, you know, I really had to do my best to constantly stay at her waist level so as to reduce that, you know, that, I don't know if linear is the right word, but that distortion across the length of her body, where if you know were too high, then it shortens the legs, and if you're too low, then it shortens the upper body, and you know, so yeah, it was a challenge again, which is a good thing. I don't mind the challenge. It's good. It makes you think, you know, particularly when you're trying to mimic another image, you know, looking at an image and going, okay, how was this lit? What focal length? How many lights do I need to replicate this, you know? And troubleshooting at all has been a fantastic experience. I know there have been other people who not had the most favorable experiences with these TFP shoots. But yeah, I find it a good challenge. It certainly gets you thinking and, yeah, makes you work. So anyway, So that's the fun and games that I've been involved with for the last couple of weekends. This weekend, Kath and Max and I are flying to Queensland for an overnight trip. It's going to be a bit of a whirlwind tour. It's my grandmother's 90th birthday. She actually had her birthday last week, but last weekend was not available because an auntie and uncle of mine, the auntie being one of my grandmother's daughters, she's out of the country, but we'll be back by this weekend. So yeah, so we're having the party this weekend up in Ipswich, which is near Brisbane. So we're flying up Saturday, going to the party Saturday night, and then flying back Sunday and back to work Monday. So yeah, it's going to be a busy weekend this weekend. Anyway, and the only reason I mentioned that was because I'm going to be doing the photos for the birthday party. So that'll be fun. All right, well, that will do it. Any questions, comments, feedback, please drop me an email, studio@audiotu.com. or studio@brucewilliamsphotography.com. Either of those will do. And until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc., another audiotoyou.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes music store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audiotoyou.com.